she was a sweet girl. Everybody loved her. She was amazing. But she did have a somberness to her, and she started sharing with me that she felt guilty about something that she could never forgive herself for. Of course, I sat there and ran down all the big things in my mind that it could be, but didn't want to touch that. She said, you know, there's a line in one of our songs that we sing that speaks about it. Huh. So I prayed for her and hugged her and went on with life. And it was one of the nights after that we were singing in Estes Park to a big youth thing. And we were singing along, and we sang a song called This Little Child. And one of the lines of that song says, killing children before they're born. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, that's it. And I looked down the row to find her. And we met eyes, and she immediately knew that she had been exposed, her abortion that she had been exposed, and she ran off the stage. And I followed her as quickly as I could. It was dark. We're in the mountains. I couldn't find her except for the sound of sobbing. Still sticks with me to this day. I found her. She was just crumbled on the ground. I knelt beside her. I had nothing to say to her, but the Holy Spirit in me spoke the name Jesus over and over. Jesus, Jesus. And she wept, and she wept. And she told me, Kim, I wear the shirt. I brought it on tour, the shirt that I wore that day to get my abortion, just to punish myself, so I'll never forget. And I said, oh, you're singing about the forgiveness of God, and yet you haven't experienced it? There's nothing we can do beyond His forgiveness. He paid the price. And I shared that with her, and the Holy Spirit revealed that she was forgiven indeed. And so she went and got her shirt. I'll never forget it. We burned it. Praise God we didn't start a fire in the mountains. We were these young kids digging a hole and burning a shirt and then covering it up, and it was forgiven. And she was different. The Holy Spirit really ministered to her. She was different from that day on, the rest of the tour. It always stuck with me. Fast forward to, I have one sister who's back from the Philippines right now visiting. Yay! I love her. And she and her husband, whose name we, it's very confusing, we and they, and you know, they should have named their children they and us and some, but his name is We, H-E-Y, Hui. And he was born in Vietnam to a mother who was Buddhist. She had a date rape situation, and she decided to have an abortion, so she made an appointment in a back alley place. For whatever reasons, didn't make it there, then tried to do things to herself that would cause her to abort. She was so distraught about this pregnancy. But by the grace of God, she got further and further along without the baby miscarrying, and she held on to him. She met a man in the service, an American, moved to America, and he adopted my brother-in-law, Hui, and they raised him in a Buddhist home. He became a Christian in college. He went on to become an engineer out here at Frontier, and then the Lord called him into ministry, full-time ministry, and he and his four children and my sister are now in the Philippines teaching ministers that go out to all the third world, lots of third world countries. And she still cries over the fact that she almost aborted this precious man. Also, my aunt was in a car wreck many years ago, so bad that she literally broke so many bones, I won't list them. So many things that she broke, but the biggest thing she broke was her heart, because her daughter, who was 13, died in that car wreck. It was awful, but the Lord held them. I watched them. I watched the Lord anoint them with comfort, bring them through that. Probably 8 years after that, when my aunt was 44, she found out she was pregnant. Wow, she was pregnant at 44, and after she had broken her pelvis, she had broken so many things, she had wires and plates and things in there. Doctor, who was pro-life, told her, I'm sorry, but you must end this pregnancy because you will not be able to carry this baby to term. The baby will die for sure, and you will probably die. She said, oh no, it's a gift, and I'm not going to. She went to Wichita. They sent her to Wichita to tell her again, you must abort this baby. She said, no, I trust God, and I will not abort this child. She did not abort him, and Rodney is a good friend to all of us and a cousin of mine, and he is now 18 years old, and he is such a blessing to that couple, and he has brought such healing to them through the hand of God. The reason I tell you these stories is because what we do in any ministry is not about the program. It's not about the meetings that we have or the fundraisers that we talk about. It's about the people. It's about going out and doing Isaiah 61, going out and binding up the brokenhearted. Abortion has many faces. It has the face of a mom who, in her ignorance, in her despair, feeling like she had no choices and being convinced that it was not a child, aborted her baby and pays for that and grieves and carries around that secret in her heart. Some of you are in this room today, and you are loved. You are unconditionally loved, and you can find healing. It has the face of the children that were never born, and the children that by God's grace were saved and were born and went on to live productive lives amazingly. It also has the face that we forget, and that is of the father who didn't want that to happen and didn't feel like he had a choice, or drove his girlfriend, his wife, whatever, to the abortion clinic and did that, and also deals with his own guilt. There are many faces in this. Mothers who encourage their daughters, all of these things, and that is why we're here at 121 West Central. That's why we're there. It's for the people. And we need your prayers. And we're just an extension of one that's already been going since 1998 in Augusta. And they have a program that they help families who earn while you learn, or learn while you earn. You're doing something and you're learning and you're earning. But anyway, give me a chance to learn all the names. But they come in and learn how to, the skills of being a parent while they earn money to buy diapers, formula, these type of things. So there is lots of opportunities. There is aftercare where we minister to the woman who's had an abortion and needs healing. And then the Eldorado Clinic. By the grace of God, we are opening a clinic. It's called a limited medical clinic. They're going to come in and be able to get free pregnancy tests, but everyone that tests positive will be given an ultrasound, will be given the option for an ultrasound. When those mothers can see the heartbeat, then their choice becomes so much easier to say, I want to have this baby. Give it up for adoption, keep it, whatever. We're going to support her. So we are privileged to be able to do that. I went over to Wichita. I have to share this real quick. I woke up. I'm not a morning person. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not. I stay up late, and I'm really, morning is just an inconvenience to have to get to the rest of the day. I'm sorry. I know I need to work on that. But this morning I woke up wide awake at 6-something. I mean, I'm just like, why am I so awake? And I had a meeting later in the morning with someone, so I thought, well, that's it. And the Lord just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and just said, you need to wake up and you need to go over to the Wichita extension of New Life, and you're supposed to also share with them this opportunity. I thought, oh, so I texted back and forth with Sam. I decided to drive over there. They say hi, and they're lovely, and it was fun to see them, and it really is happening. Sam's not just going over there and eating breakfast. He's really going over there and ministering. It's kind of neat. Not that I ever wondered that at all. Anyway, I went over there. I spoke, and I shared with them that to pray for Melissa Briscoe, who is a nurse, a birthing nurse over here at SBA, and she's going to be our nurse at the clinic, and she's going to do these sonograms, and she's learning how to do that. It's like learning an entirely new language. It's confusing. It's hard. She's a little scared, so pray for her as she's been training for quite some time. But we really need more help with that. I shared that out of the blue with them, and as I'm walking out to get back in my car to come back here, a lady follows me out, grabs me, said, I have to talk to you. She goes, I'm so glad you spoke here this morning. She said, I'm a sonographer. I think I pronounced that right. I said, what? She goes, I used to work with Choices. I had shoulder operation, da-da-da-da-da. She goes, I would love to walk alongside your clinic and help you out. I am shaking. I'm so excited. She goes, I'd love to help train your nurse even more efficiently, and I'd love to walk beside her. I was amazed as we hugged over and over, just so excited. She was excited. I was excited. And the Lord is providing even to the smallest details. So rejoice with me about that. And it was neat that I went over there. And why I'm here is to share all of that with you, but also to show you these little bottles that we have. It's a loaves and fishes type of thing. We have a whole box of them back there, and I want to encourage you. Sometimes they say take one per family. I'm not going to do that. If your children want to take one, or whoever feels led in your family, take a bottle, put it in your room, pray. Pray for the unborn. Pray for the moms. Pray for the dads. Pray for the families. And as you see fit and as the Lord leads you, place your change in here. Place a very large check in here, you know, whatever you want to do. But put things in here. Put your change in here. We'll see what the Lord does with our loaves and fishes. and support us as the Lord leads you to support us. And let's make a difference for the kingdom. And we have this college out here that needs reached. So young kids who go to Butler, if you have a heart for this, please talk to me. I'd love to form a club out there that maybe you can do the hands and feet of reaching people for the Lord. Awesome.
Good job, Kim. We want to do want to pray for Kim and for the new ministry that's coming here. I know some of you are aware of it, but this is a frontline ministry in the midst of what is a deception on our nation. It's a Holocaust is what it is. And great damage is being done to not only a generation, but even to the kingdom of God. God in his sovereignty works all that out, I know. But hearing that wee story, how many more of those, you know, were there? Obviously, babies have destinies. And so we want to pray for this ministry, for the warfare that will come around that. Dick's not here today. I think he's over with his family. He's on the board. Joel runs the thing, I think. And so Joel, Jordan, they're in Kansas City. But we want to pray for all those involved and for what's happening. And so let's pray together. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for, again, frontline ministries like this that are out meeting the ladies, meeting the guys where they are. We pray in Jesus' name for rescue. We pray for wisdom and blessing and protection for our sister Kim. We praise you for Dick and for Joel that's serving this too. And we join in the service with prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray for hundreds of babies to be rescued in El Dorado and Augusta. Lord, we really ask for a rescuing out of those Moseses that will draw people out. Rescue them first. And so we just praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do through this ministry and pray you protect it in your name.